The In This League Podcast Network. In this ring, in this corner, Joe Pisapia. This corner, Tim Heaney. Gentlemen, let's go.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, Joe Pisapia, and welcome to In This Ring, the greatest wrestling podcast in the history of the universe. It's me, and it's Tim Heaney. And finally, Tim, we're back in a groove. It's been a busy couple weeks. There's been holidays. There's been kid stuff. There's been new jobs starting. But don't worry, boys and girls. We're never going away because this is the break that we need. It's what I need to cleanse my soul and talk a little wrestling. And Tim Heaney, I know you need this show too.
We may sound angry sometimes, but I really do look forward to this. It's a nice catharsis, and hopefully, you know, everyone listening out there, we thank you for your support as usual. You guys help keep us going with all the good stuff. So comment wherever you can, you know, rate the show wherever you can. It's we're doing this for you guys. And so Joe and I can vent about some stuff with our other day jobs. So
it's cathartic. I think that you're right. That's the word. That's what it is. It's just a little bit of it's an hour where we just kind of, you know, we're less depending on where we just got to get together, talk wrestling, and the world goes away a little bit. And, you know, it never hurts to have a bit of the bubbly either. You know, just pointing that out there. We're going to talk about a little bit of the bubbly. We're going to talk a little bit.
Oh my God,
about
that owned the last 2 weeks.
It did, but it was fun. I mean, what was it? It was in a Longhorn Steakhouse, right? That's where
those classy establishments, Longhorn Steakhouse.
Hey man, that's why I love Chris Jericho. He's a man of the people. I actually like the Longhorn Steakhouse. I've had some decent meals there.
I've had mixed reviews, but yeah. Yeah,
I've been there once or twice, and both times I was like, yeah, this is all right. It's fine. It's better than some other. Like, I can't eat at Fridays anymore. It's like so salty and gross. Oh my God! Last year, my daughter and I were out, and I was like, all right, let's just go to Fridays. It's right here. We'll get some. Oh God, both of us were like, we're ill. Like, we were ill while we're eating. I was like, no, we can't eat here ever again. It's gross. But anyway, we're gonna talk about Raw and SmackDown, of course. Preview Clash of Champions and King of the Ring and what the hell's going on there. We've also got NXT debuting next week, so that's very exciting on the 18th, so that'll be a lot of fun to chat about. But let's start with AEW. Jericho defeats Hangman Page, which we knew was going to be the case. You have to go into that show with Jericho being champ. So I guess my question to you, did you actually see the pay-per-view? Did you watch, or did you saw highlights, or what was your deal?
Yeah, I was able to catch the replay. Mainly focused on the main matches. All the things we talked about the last couple of weeks, really didn't get time to watch the whole thing through, you know, kind of the main five matches there. Jericho Page, it was good. But like you said, it was kind of a, you know, you knew the outcome was coming there. And Jericho is the face you need to kind of carry this whole thing into a TV deal. So,
yeah. You know, whenever you have to raise your voice about your thoughts on a match, that it didn't live up to what, you know, expectations go. Yeah, it was good.
The lilting. Yeah.
It was like Longhorn Steakhouse. How was Longhorn Steakhouse? It's good.
I have a mixed experience.
I believe I did that. I was like, it's all right. It's fine.
Yeah, I think you did.
Exactly. It's not, you know, where something's really good, right? You think about, oh, that's so good. Like, you get so low when you're talking about it. But it's just fine. It's the higher pitch you get. There you go. Pac defeated Kenny Omega. So Kenny keeps taking losses here. How do you feel about this? Like, I mean, I understand it. I think it's good in a way to show everybody, hey, just because we're at the top of the company doesn't mean we're not going to take L's. But I don't know if this is the best way to build into the product.
This might be his last big loss for a while. I think he'll beat Moxley, at the next thing. So I think that Omega's good, you know, get out of the gate. I think it's going to take losses when they don't mean anything, you know, losing to Pac, Jericho didn't mean nothing, but it was still, you know, a predictable outcome that Jericho could have won after Omega won the press too in Japan. So, yeah, I think that Omega's kind of doing his bit for the company right now and, delay his run to the top a little bit. I'm actually kind of okay with that.
So. I also saw the 1 hour teaser on TNT for All Elite Wrestling. I don't know if you caught that. It was basically like a 45 minutes of Sean Spears, pretty much. Like, that's what it felt like, which, I mean, it wasn't all bad, but it was just kind of like, all right, I get it. We're pushing Sean Spears. Great. Terrific. Lucha Brothers defeated the Young Bucks, which again, another L for the owners, and Nyla Rose wins a casino battle royal. How do you feel about her going in as women's champion for the product?
I think it makes the most sense right now. I'm just not a huge fan of her style and her abilities in the ring. I am all for pushing the character and the achievement of having a transgender wrestler being up there. I think that's a good story to tell. Compared to some of the other ones there, it's just that she's very rough in the ring. I know you probably couldn't lock down some of these other people for long-term deals and stuff like that, so I get why you got to push her. But yeah, it's interesting. I think she's a bit clunky, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep telling everybody that the worst thing that could have happened to AEW was NXT showing up on Wednesday night. It really is, because that product is so tight. The identity is so strong that it's going to be really tough. I mean, you know, I know Triple H was kind of out there this week talking about how, you know, we are the alternative product and all this stuff. And like, yeah, you are and you're not. But, you know, he's not wrong, you know, and that's the thing. You look at it and they have been building this alternative product to the main roster, and it's been wildly successful for all of us who like the main roster but get frustrated but are huge wrestling fans. But it's a bit higher grade wrestling and higher production than what you get on the indie scene. So it really is the best of all the worlds. And I know that's what AEW wants to be. And AEW also wants to be a little bit more adult, it feels like, too. But I don't know if that's the, I kind of wonder about that route. Do you think that that adult wrestling route is really a good long-term solution? Because the problem is, I don't know if you're building a fan base for tomorrow that way.
Yeah, it's, you're kind of trying to get the next generation there, but I think they're really catering to the indie, you know, hate to say it, but the smarky, you know, marquee wrestling crowd. It's kind of like really the anti-WWE people that just blindly anti-WWE. They're probably
right, but all of them grew up on WWE. Most of them grew up in the Attitude Era, and that's my whole point. Is like, that's great. You're servicing this specific group or this subset. But my question is, long term, how do you build? And you know, there's always opportunities, but that's the one thing where I look at and go, okay, well, here's the next thing. How do you get through that? But I'm excited for NXT, especially because they're bringing back some other people. There's going to be a draft where you're going to be some superstars moving back, and we'll get to Kevin Owens in a second. I don't want to tease that. Let's first start with the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the biggest thing that happened was after Sasha Banks returned, we had the whole Bayley heel turn, kind of, sort of, which I'm all about. I thought it was great. It was about time. It was long overdue. And then they had a banger of a match, I thought, this week on Raw in the Garden. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, the tag match was pretty nice, I got to say. I mean, I'm surprised Charlotte went over. I thought that could have been like a thing to get Bayley a little bit more clout to get the win. But I think it was fine. I think you know, the music still bothers me while she's a heel. I kind of get the ironic factor of her being happy music and her being a heel. But I don't know. It seems like it's kind of like, you know, how Io Shirai underwent that music change when she turned. I think we need something like that in the near future if Bayley's going to stay champion.
I'm actually okay with it. She's got to treat it more ironic. She has to be more excited and more happy to drive everybody a little annoyed. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
That's the way to get at everybody. Somebody, I think it was on the What Culture guy, said something about, you know, have her like only high five kids and like be a jerk to adults.
Yeah, I like that. That's really
good. That's a hell of an idea. Like, just, you know, really push the character up a notch. And I think that will make some people dislike her, but all the imagery and all the stuff will still work with the kids, as long as she's like the hero kind of character. But adults are stupid. I think that could be a really good way to go. Also, NXT UK happened as well. And let's get to that. Sound.
It was a guttural amazement sound for Walter versus Tyler Bate.
I have not watched it yet. Oh my God. Probably watch it tonight. Actually, tonight's my first night where I can have some time without football and without children, which is those two things. So that's combination of, you know, no kids but football, and then football and no kids, or all kids and football. It hasn't worked out, but was it that good, really?
I mean, I know you've had your doubts about Volter in the past, but watching him, I mean, Tyler Bate, of course, is going to be, could be a main eventer in any promotion. I'll argue that to this day. The guy is just incredible.
He's terrific.
I think Volter definitely more than held his own. He's trimmed down a little bit. He's kind of showing a little bit more of the athleticism that kind of made him a little bit hyped coming in. And yeah, it was about 45, 50 minutes, I think, maybe longer. It was, the near falls were spectacular. The story they told was great. Big guy versus little guy is always going to play well, but I think they're both really good artists. And I think that might've been one of the WWE matches of the year.
All right, I will definitely check that out tonight. I will look forward to that tonight. also, in terms of bigger news, I guess, you know, before we get to the whole Raw recap, SmackDown fly through and all that stuff, just generally speaking, Tim, Raw's been really good the last couple of weeks, and SmackDown, I feel like, has started to fall off, which has not been the case. SmackDown's always been the better show for the last year and change. And now it's just funny to me that clearly whoever, you know, if Heyman does indeed have the reins, no pun intended, of Raw, that it really has become a better show. I mean, it's just, it's an enjoyable 3 hours. You go through it, you find things. And the whole thing about these promos now that they're allowed to, they're getting rid of the scripted promos. They're just giving them bullet points. Duh. Thank goodness. I mean, God.
Years too late.
It's just, and you could see the difference immediately. You could see the comfort level of everybody just take, like, you could see the wrestlers go out there and everyone just looks comfortable. They're not trying to remember exactly how the wording was of this or that. Just give them the gist and go let them, you know, basically just take it to the other person. That's all I need. And I thought it showed immediately in terms of comfort level of the promos.
On top of all the other things you have to remember as a wrestler, as a performer, stage direction, you know, plot points in your head, easing up on having them get exact sentences. I mean, you can get exact sentences, you know, high point stuff, but like trying to fill in the middle with the BS that these guys have been writing for a while, that's a huge hindrance. And to have the clear head to hit the high notes and kind of fill it in between however you want, I think that's going to result in much better performances with the acting and all.
Well, especially because no one talks that other way.
Right.
Exactly. No one talks that way. And that's why it just feels weird.
Like, more natural this way. Yep.
Yes. Tim Heaney, I know that you know what I'm capable of doing. And if time shows us anything, Tim Heaney, like, no, nobody says that.
It sounds like 50 Shades of Grey bullshit.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Bad. And there's nowhere near the same amount of nudity, I guess. I don't know. I never read the books. I don't know. But on top of all that, we had the King of the Ring tournament. And it's funny because I thought, and I think you did too, that the King of the Ring tournament would be culminated at Clash of Champions. We're going to crown a King of the Ring at the Clash of Champions. What a fun thing to do.
It's a title, kind of. Yeah.
Nope. No, that's not what happened at all. No, it's going to be on Raw, which there's part of me. This is the only thing that I could possibly wrap my mind around before we even get to what happened in it. The only thing I could wrap my mind around is this, Tim. It's that somehow they go, oh, you know what? We're really trying to build this, and we're going to have more eyes on Raw watching it than we will at on the pay-per-view, which is a fact. So that's the only thought process I'm getting is that. And plus, Dean, you have something else for people to look forward to after Raw, after Clash of Champions.
All of that was exactly my point. To have it be the main event of Raw, I would hope. To have it be the culmination, have that be the focal point of the week after all the Clash of Champions clears. Because you have all those title matches, you know, gets kind of lost there. It sticks with the theme of crowning something, but I do get why they kind of want to have it as a separate, you know, spotlight type of thing. But I'm with you. It would have been felt so much bigger at the pay-per-view in general. So
I thought this whole tournament was actually very good. I mean, start to finish, I really liked everything that happened up until SmackDown. And SmackDown happened, and then we had the whole, Elias has an injury, and now as soon as you knew that, people were tweeting at me. They're like, you know, it's coming. I was like, nope, don't you say it. And then it happened. The Kevin Owens twist was fun enough. And yes, Chad Gable still got the victory. So basically the end of it, at the end of days, as it were, Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable. I have a bad feeling it's going to be King Corbin, in which case, what the hell have we been doing building Chad Gable up all these weeks? What do you think, Tim? What's your prediction on this one?
Yeah, I mean, Corbin gets the heel heat with his way. Chad Gable, the underdog story, I think, is the better play right now, I think, because we're all thinking King Corbin. Is this a case where a King of the Ring babyface could really work? I think Gable needs it. I think Gable really needs something. If they're going to push him this far, him losing just sets him right back down. You're not imagining him getting into a title picture, because you know that's safe for the guys like Ali and Andrade and Ricochet, the guys who kind of lost that might have been possible Kings of the Ring, Drew McIntyre. So I think Gable needs to have this to have his notch on his, you know, belt or whatever to be the champion. So Corbin, you know, beating Corbin, I think will be a huge pop when it does happen.
I hope he becomes like a jerk king, like Joffrey in Game of Thrones. Like he's just like he just becomes a total prick, you know? I think that'd be fantastic. What a fun turn.
Yeah. You could flip in a small amount of time from what you're trying to establish him as a babyface. I think it could be interesting. So
yeah. I'm the king. Yeah. Like he just demands all these things. Like, I am the king. Yeah. I demand this. I want this in my dressing room. Like he just becomes a petulant child king. That could actually be really, I mean, he's like a 34-year-old man, but alas, whatever. It's WWE. They don't care. Vince McMahon, that's hilarious. It's good. I love it.
He'll own it. If he's asked to do it, Gable will own it anyway, I think. He's got a good sense of humor.
Doesn't well, that's the thing. Chad Gable is so open to use him. And I also wish they would explain what the hell he was doing with that notepad for 2 weeks. Remember when he was like in the background with the notepad and it never went anywhere? They're like, nope, we're never going to explain it. We're just going to tie that back on it. Yeah. And then like it never happened. Nope. That's it. Yeah, we'll see what happens. God. All right. You had two big member Barry appearances this week. And Raw and SmackDown both at Madison. And the Stone Cold one with the whole deal with AJ Styles, I thought was great, man. I really enjoyed that. It was a great segment. You know how I feel about Undertaker. It takes him 5 minutes to get to the ring before he talks. And then he says stupid crap. And then I just don't care. I just don't care. It doesn't do anything for me at all. I know some people love it still. I'm so over it. But I thought the Austin stuff was terrific. How did you feel about the member Barry's returns?
Same order. Austin's was fun. I mean, AJ Styles and Austin in the same ring is always going to be something that we're going to want to see, even though Austin can't wrestle. But the interplay was good. AJ, you know, the dialogue was but the whole point is to take a stunner from Stone Cold. It was perfect. Undertaker, Sami Zayn being fed, I mean, that doesn't really do much for me. And so, whatever. Yeah, but Austin's always
Sami Zayn, professional jobber. That's what he's become. Yep. It's unbelievable. Like, that's it. That's what he is now. I thought the matches were pretty good, too. It was good to see the Viking experience kind of working with the main people. You know, it's good to remind everybody just how damn good those guys are. And they really, I mean, they are like they could just put on some banger matches. And I just want somebody to give them an opportunity to fight somebody who's any good so that everybody could sit back and go, wow, holy crap. And I feel like that's coming on Monday as well. I feel like that's the next thing, Clash of Champions. Yeah. And I don't even know if, that's my concerns. I don't even know if the club is good enough. I'd rather see Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler fight them. You know,
they're setting that up, I think. I think that's going to be the next pay-per-view or two. One of those will be Viking Raiders versus Ziggler and Roode, and really just kind of erase the Ziggler Roode thing and, you know, put them over. So yeah, I'm with you.
So Rey Mysterio came out and fought Grand Metalik, which at first I was like, all right, well, you know, this could be really good. And then I kind of was like, meh. After it was all over, I just kind of, it didn't do anything for me. You know, it was a nice moment for those two guys, but I don't know, this, maybe my expectations were too high. What do you think?
I wonder what they're doing with the whole Dominic stuff. I mean, he's coming up, he's retiring, but he's not retiring because of Dominic. It's just kind of like, you think Dominic has to like turn on him eventually for somebody else, right?
If that's, I don't know. I'm waiting for Dominic and then Nicholas from WrestleMania a couple years ago to get together and have like an all child tag team situation. Just Dominic Nicholas. There you go. Oh, you nailed it. That's why you wear the top hat in this relationship. All right. Firefly Funhouse was tremendous. Again, it wasn't as good as the one the week before. The one the week before where he fed Vince McMahon $100 bill.
I lost it.
I near peed my pants. I thought that was the greatest one they had done yet. This week's was okay. Still fun. Not as fun, but terrific.
11-19. What does it mean?
I don't know. And everyone's like, oh, it must be a pay-per-view. Nope. No, it's not. I don't. Do you think it means something? Do you?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't even know
what day of the week it is.
It's not Undertaker's anniversary or anything, right? It's not like there was a discrepancy about when he debuted, and someone said it might have been November. Or November 19th was the date of his debut, but it wasn't. And it was just weird Reddit speculation. I hope it's not that they just left it on. I hope maybe he's going to challenge for the title in November or something. That'd be pretty sweet, but I don't know. A lot of conspiracy theories flying around.
And speculation. Yeah. When you go over to SmackDown then and you have the whole thing where, you know, Kevin Owens as referee thing kind of actually worked for me. It all worked. And then he fires him at the end because, look, you know, Shane tapped out. And you tap out, perfect. That's the end of the match. You know,
that was perfect.
Yep. Right. So they fired him. And then on social, all he did was he responded in numbers. And those numbers of the alphabet are actually N, X, and T in terms of the numbers. So are we going to see Kevin Owens down at NXT and the KO versus Adam Cole feud? Could that be? Because sign me up for that.
I mean, it's a good way to kind of stretch out the Undisputed Era, like having Cole beat these guys that have a good shot to beat him, but, you know, they're kind of one-off-y type of championship things. You know, we saw the Jordan Miles thing, I thought worked pretty well for what it was, you know, winning the breakout tournament and then getting the title, which makes sense. Finally, someone uses that to challenge the champion, the NXT champion, not the secondary. Yeah, I think Owens could have a nice little program with Cole. They have obviously way so much experience from the Ring of Honor days together, and those will be barn burner matches for sure. So, yeah, having Owens kind of dip down a bit, you know, and then come back when he's ready to kind of, you know, take over and maybe beat Shane at WrestleMania or something like that again. We'll see. But yeah, it's a great, nice breather for Kevin Owens' character to do something like that.
And they really do need to bring in some more household names to the NXT product. So it makes a no-brainer there. I wish Nakamura would go back too. Speaking of Nakamura, I hate this whole thing with The Miz beating Andrade clean. This is so dumb. I don't know why he was in this match. You tell me Miz couldn't have fought somebody else. I mean, Andrade and clean. Losing clean to The Miz. Oh, it's so dumb. So dumb. Like, that's like for Shelton Benjamin to do or something like that. Right. Not for Andrade. So bad.
And Andrade might have pissed off somebody backstage or something. This is a very interesting turn he's taken. recently.
He's boyfriend of Charlotte Flair. How much higher up on the trough can you possibly get in this company? Although the whole stuff with the man, you know, and the whole, you know, I love Ric Flair. He's such
money.
I know, but it's not like they're not giving him paydays. They're pushing all kinds of crap all the time.
Oh, I think he's a jerk. I think he's a jerk for doing it too. Absolutely.
But. I mean, come on, Ric. Oh man, like I know he's getting old and he's getting crotchety and stuff, but man, come on, just
you're putting Charlotte in a shitty spot too.
They are.
He is. But yeah.
We'll see what happens with all that. I actually don't mind the whole Eric Rowan Roman Reigns thing right now.
Rowan's promo was fantastic. I agree.
I was shocked. But I thought the whole melee was good too.
Yep, for sure.
You know, hitting guys with cameras and all that. I think that works for me. And my hope is that this match, Roman takes the fall and gets screwed by Buddy Murphy in this match. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we heat that one up. And then it's, you know, let's do that. Because I don't know how much legs this whole Rowan thing has. But all I know is that Buddy Murphy, Roman Reigns has legs. Has legs for miles. And I don't want to see that little Buddy Murphy thing happen and then just disappear. It's a perfect way to kind of bring it back and just have him go in there and screw him out of the match and then be done and then move Rowan onto something else or with Buddy Murphy in some way. And they're just, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan turns back to face and him and Roman Reigns take them on at the next pay-per-view.
Exactly what I was going for. That'd be a fun match.
That'd be a very fun match. I'd like to see Buddy Murphy in that. Yeah. Let's do that. Can we please? You know, going forward to, the last thing that's of major, you know, discussion here is the whole Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton thing. And we've been alluding to this for a while. I just want this to be over. And I just want Randy Orton to take the belt off him. It's time now. It's lost all the momentum. It's lost all the pizzazz. It doesn't feel like he's champ right now. It feels like he's buried. And for the good of Kofi, I think it's time. Just get it off him and let's move on.
I'm with you, but I don't want Randy Orton to get the juice from that, if there's even any juice left. But I don't know. Randy Orton is champion again. Maybe he's going to be retiring and maybe he'll put somebody over, but I feel bad. This shouldn't have been this way for Kofi. It should have been like a bigger guy that was like an up and coming heel should have taken it from him. If that's going to be the case, like an Andrade or something. But
well, here's the thing. If you have Randy Orton take over and you're going into Friday nights with Randy Orton as champion, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a much better.
I agree.
Yeah. It's a flagship guy that you can trust in the big spot. I think it makes a lot of sense. And then you have some legitimate guys on that roster now or whatever roster it is to challenge. Now, the weird thing is this whole discussion about a draft coming up is fascinating because are we then going to the brand split, which is kind of dumb. I don't like that. I like this whole everything's open and I'd like to see guys like Cedric challenging. And it's been great to see him get opportunities. It's been great to see Chad Gable. It's been great to see Ali. There's a lot of really good talent out there right now and a lot of young athletic faces that really, you know, some of these older guys could really help get to that next level.
If you have it like a top 10 set on each show and then you have a lot of guys roaming, I think that could be kind of cool. But, you know, the networks are probably be arguing they want the top guys on both their shows. So it's kind of it's a weird mix.
I imagine Fox wins out. Here,
you know, go ahead.
Don't you think Fox wins out that conversation? No, I mean, that's what that would, network money is network money.
I would think
you know,
so.
God bless USA Network and stuff. But I mean, come on.
I don't know that that's NBC. That's a huge, huge money too. So.
Yeah, but it's not the same as Channel 5. You know what I mean? Like when you're like Fox, broadcast, you know, where that's in every single home as opposed to USA, which is in most, but still everybody has Fox, you know? All right, let's get to the preview of Clash of Champions before we close this bad boy out today. So Drew Gulak versus Carrillo versus Lindsay Dorado for the Cruiserweight Championship. So I don't know, man. This whole Cruiserweight division to me, like the whole 205 Live thing, it's just done.
Yeah.
Because all the best talent in that division is now on the main roster and sometimes being used, sometimes not. I don't know. I always feel like Cruiserweight Champion is a negative in the sense because it knocks down really talented people and pigeonholes them. And it did the same thing in WCW when it was, even when it was hot there, it restricted guys like Chris Jericho to a certain degree.
Right, you can see Mysterio, Malenko, Guerrero versus these other people.
Well, basically. Guerrero and Jericho specifically, those two guys come to mind as talents who were well beyond that championship, but found it very difficult to get past that and be one of the top guys for a myriad of other reasons too in that company because of all the goons politics at the top. Right. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's like, oh, we think of them as cruiserweights, not as heavyweight champion. I think that that's a distinction. That's a problem.
I agree.
So you got a prediction for this one? You think they keep it on Dorado?
It's got to be Gulak, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, you think so? Keep it on Gulak there?
Unless you move him up. I mean, they've been pushing Carrillo a little bit, and he's kind of talented, but it really depends on what they're planning to do. I mean, is Gulak going to be mixing
in? I like Gulak as champ. I do. I'm sorry I misspoke there for a second and said keep it on Dorado. I meant to say put it on Dorado, so that's my bad. But Gulak to me is the guy. Like, he's just a good worker. You know, just kind of keep that on there till further notice. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, who I guess are faces now, against Fire and Desire. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And Sonya Deville, it's a shame because her skill set, I told you, has really improved over the last 6 months. And I don't think she's getting enough time. And I hope she has a little coming out party in this match. But I find it very hard to believe they're going to take the belts off Alexa and Nikki already. Although it's not impossible. Do you think that they're going to keep it on Bliss and Cross? Or you think they're going to move the belts again and try to make some new stars happen?
I mean, part of me wonders if they're going to lead to a Mandy Sonya breakup in the next couple months anyway. Have Sonya be the baby face a little bit would be kind of cool. You could maybe have a title reign before that, but I think Alexa and Nick are going to win this one. And by the way, I just want to say the Mandy writing lately has been pretty awful. So
yeah, it's been bad. Yeah, it absolutely really has.
The whole all Nikki's right. ugly thing, there's a nuanced way to do that, and they didn't do that.
So. No, they just haven't helped her from day one. They give her that stupid entrance music, that stupid entrance. Like,
it's just not who she is.
Yeah, was that awful? They have really given her crap. I mean, and it's a shame because I feel like all she is like a tough girl from New Jersey, and if you just let her be her, I think it's going to be a lot better. It's just like they're trying to make her all these things. Like, don't just – it's like Becky Lynch syndrome.
Yeah,
so just eventually just let them be themselves a little bit more. And, you know, they're trying so hard to gimmick her up, but because she's so attractive and she's, you know, she's got a lot of talent. It's just it's over gimmicked and it's just not working. You just need to ease off and give her a couple of good singles matches and leave it alone. You got Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman against Ziggler and Rude. I think you have Ziggler and Rude here. Take these belts off them and then you have a little heat for this match, right? It's got to happen.
Absolutely. Seth costs them somehow. One of them, you know, it'll play over if one of them just kind of makes a mistake or something. Braun can make a mistake, I think, maybe is a good one to do. Ziggler and Rude, like you said, they got to legitimize it because it happened so quickly. So might as well just pull the trigger.
Might as well. Now, are they in the OC or not?
They were kind of teasing that, which is kind of interesting. They're just part of that big 5-on-5 tag. So,
why don't they just make it? Let's make the club a club. Let's do it.
Great. Yeah.
You know, let's have an actual faction with like five dudes in it and let's do it. Oh my God. It would be nice to see the women have a faction too. You know, three or four women get together and make a group. That would be terrific. Yeah. And just kind of wreak havoc. You know, there's enough talent out there to do it. Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan. It's got to be Roman Reigns getting over here on Rowan. But I mean, like I want Buddy Murphy involved somehow.
He'll take an ass kicking after the match, probably.
Something like that. Yeah. Something has to happen here. New Day, you know, this one, talk about this one not feeling like anything. New Day versus The Revival. What?
No.
Why?
Should be more,
why
is should be much more here? Excited for this one.
this has got to go to the pre-show. It's got to. Probably. I'm sorry. I am very excited about AJ versus Cedric, though.
And, yeah, that's a nice addition. Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. Do you have Cedric win this belt? Because the problem is you put the belt on Ricochet, and then you took it off him in the next pay-per-view. And I don't want to see that same thing happen with Cedric. So, for me, I think Cedric has to take the L here, and you got to keep AJ strong because he is your strongest heel right now.
Yeah, AJ's getting all his matches with the up-and-comers with this title. I think that's kind of the point of it for the next few months. And, you know, there's rumors about how long AJ actually does want to stick around and, you know, get these great matches in with him as champion with these great, you know, like Buddy Murphy could be next or something like that eventually down the road. You know, so guys like that. Yeah, AJ wins here. I'll go with that.
All right, Shinsuke Nakamura and The Miz. Ugh, boo, I hate this. This is terrible. It feels so out of nowhere. There's no heat for this. I just want, just let Nakamura. You know what? I want Nakamura to lose and go to NXT. How's that? Because that's where he should be anyway.
Nakamura versus Cole. Yes, please. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's just have how about Nakamura versus Velveteen Dream?
Right. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a flamboyant match, yeah.
Yeah, you need more of that. You need more of the guys that some guys succeed in NXT, some guys succeed in Ring of Honor, some guys succeed, you know, not everybody's meant to be WWE main roster successful. And it's not a failure. I think that whole thing like, oh, it's you failed on the main roster. Well, maybe you're just not that kind of personality. Maybe your style doesn't fit that. And maybe you're not adaptable. But Kevin Owens going back to NXT will be fine. Nakamura going back to NXT, Cesaro going back to NXT, all those guys would be terrific. I would love to see that happen.
And maybe this sets up Miz versus Andrade for the IC, and that's how Andrade takes it.
Let's hope so, for the love of God. Please stop burying him. And, you know, where's Aleister Black? Another freaking pay-per-view without Aleister Black. Yeah. Another great asset not being utilized, and it's starting to piss me off. I'd like to see AJ Styles, Aleister Black, be the next one.
Sure.
I'm hoping that's what we're working towards, is the next guy to take over there. Bayley versus Charlotte. Bayley's got to keep the belt here. You need a night where Bayley wins and the boss wins, and they have both of those championships, and they rub it in the other girls' faces, and that's it. Like and then you need to have a rematch that night with Sasha the next night and do that whole thing again. Where, like, oh my God, she's going to lose it again. She's going to lose it again, and have her not lose it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That is must
be working. They both have to be their respective champions.
And she has to retain it the next night, because that whole trend where you have her drop the belt the next night, you need to make a statement about that.
I agree.
And a bank statement, so to speak.
There it is.
So, and I love Becky. I don't know that I want Becky to lose, but it's time.
She's got to get back to chasing.
And you need to put the belt on Sasha Banks and let her run with this for a little while, or it's going to go nowhere. Kofi versus Randy, where he talked about Randy's going to win that. And then you got Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman, which I think is open to interpretation.
Heaney, it's tough.
I'm fascinated. How do you see this one shaking out?
It really depends on what they're planning. Is Brock Lesnar actually coming back into the picture here? I don't know. I think it's probably Seth 60% to win. But Braun in the title picture, they've kind of already teased this and kind of half started it. This is kind of like, this is his shot to do it. It's actually a clear path right now where it can actually be a logical title reign for him.
The only thing that I can think of is they give Braun a shot to roll with this championship on Raw, and Seth moves over, and him and Randy Orton is the SmackDown feud that you're going to go into that show with. That's the only thing I can think of.
Mm.
You know, because then you've got your biggest superstar probably on your biggest show on Friday night, which might make the most sense at this point.
Yeah. To appease Fox, I guess they want Seth Rollins, which there could be better personality, you know, tops of card guys, but I guess it's fine.
Well, I mean, at this point, you really don't have it. So,
I know.
You know, you might as well just make with what you got. What you have is a lot of talent. And I think what they have to realize is we have such good in-ring talent there. We just have to utilize them right. That's all we got to do. We got to go let that Andrade have matches against Aleister Black. You got to go out there and let, Cedric Alexander fight Seth Rollins. You got to go out there and just let these matches happen, and everything will just take care of itself. And Buddy Murphy needs to be out there wrestling, and Chad Gable. And, you know, that's why I'm so happy about the Chad Gable push, because he was by far one of the most underutilized assets in the entire company this, you know, for years now. And it's because he's undersized. So what? So is a lot of people. So is Adam Cole. So is Johnny Gargano. Last time I checked, those guys are selling out arenas. You know what I mean?
Yep. And next week is, you know, going to be fun for Gargano. Actually, tonight's going to be Gargano coming back to NXT. So we'll see if there's any plans for that coming up next.
Yeah, that was, you know, the weird part about that is that whole feeling like it was a send-off at the end of that last match. Do you think that they really thought that that was it for him there? Or do you think that they've changed their heart about it? Or it was kind of strange.
I think they were leaving it ambiguous on purpose, because they're going to probably talk about what to do next with him.
Well,
probably still going on.
I'm hoping to get Ciampa back. I don't know if he's ready, but Tommaso Ciampa at least coming back to TV, even if he's not wrestling, just having the presence there on that first night would be a huge win. It will be a huge win for them and gain some momentum, and people will be really excited about it. And I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see what it looks like. And I think it's only an hour, if I'm looking correctly. It's only an hour long from 8 to 9.
I didn't check.
See, I set the DVR and I saw it and I went, oh, 8 to 9? Really? I thought it would be an 8 to 10. I thought it would be 2 hours, which I'm okay with.
That's smart, like, if it's just an hour. Yeah,
it is super smart if it's just an hour. Give people an incredible hour and they will go, whoa, oh my God, that's amazing. And leave them wanting more, especially when you have now SmackDown going to 3 hours. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about 1 hour of NXT is definitely still the most effective wrestling product in the world. So it's fine.
And last but not least, please, 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 can we not make Clash of Champions 4 hours long? Can we please end this pay-per-view in 3 hours? Please. And make some of these matches like, you know, Nakamura and Miz, like 8 minutes, please. That's all we need. Give me 5-8 minutes of that match. Give me New Day in the pre-show. It's just... And I love New Day, but like there's like certain matches here that just no one cares. Like there's just no heat. And I don't know why they're on there if there's no heat on them. Ugh, pisses me off. But anyway, I will be watching. You'll be watching. And next week, we're going to talk about the aftermath of Clash of Champions. And we'll also talk about the NXT debut. So we'll probably record the show on Thursday, would be my guess, to get all that in. Probably have to do that, right, Tim? Because we kind of have to see that first NXT show. We can't do a show next week without that, right?
I mean, we got to talk about our actual show schedule in general with all this new stuff.
So many things. We're just so popular. And we really just are. It's just the way we are. We're heels and everyone's booking us because we're so cool. And, and that's sometimes that's just the way it rolls with my boy, Top Hat Tim Heaney. And that's the way the monocle cracks. Okay. You can follow us on the Twitter machine at Joe Pizzapia 17 at In This Ring and at Team Heaney. And obviously check us out on Facebook as well. And In This Ring, you can subscribe to the show everywhere, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, all over the place. We're there and we are a part of the podcast network of the ITL Army of InThisLeague.com. So go join that ITL Army over on Patreon. That'll do it for me and my boy, Tim Heaney. You got to remember, boys and girls, and this is a problem now because I don't want to be sued by Ric Flair. But anyway, to be the men, you got to beat the men. And we are the men.
Woo!
Copyright infringement.